Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, March 27th, 2026, and we are still on our spring break, but we have assembled for you a lineup of some of our most memorable Freaky Friday stories from the freakiest of Fridays past. So we hope you enjoy the collection we have gathered for you. We do have a live Q&A coming up Thursday, April 2nd at 8:30 p.m. Central over on Patreon, so we hope you will join us for that. Bring us your most burning questions. We will answer the top 20 most upvoted ones. We also just recently uploaded a mini-sode about the missing general out of Arizona, the one with the security clearance who had worked on some UAP projects. We also recently released a true crime headlines on Havana Syndrome, Tommy Thompson, and the conviction of Corey Richens for the murder of her husband, Eric. So be sure to head over to Patreon, check those out. In the meantime, head over to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and book your cabins for Crime Wave at Sea 2027. February 8th through 12th. We can't wait to see you aboard with so many awesome acts. And you can go ahead and choose your cabin, split it with your cabin mate, go ahead and start deciding which of these awesome podcasts you're going to see. Hopefully you can see them all. And there's so many amazing amenities aboard the ship. We cannot wait. February 8th through 12th, go to crimewaveatsea.com. Use code SINISTER when you check out. But in the meantime, let's get freaky with this collection of some odd but true tales from Freaky Fridays past.
Well, as we said, the first one is from Anonymous, and the subject line is, I am an accidental killer. Howdy, ladies. Y'all have been in my ears for years, and your humor has helped me get through so much in the last however many years I've been listening. I wanted to write in not just to share my story, but also share the resource that has helped me more than anything. Last summer, while driving for one of my jobs around Dallas, I had the worst experience of my life. I won't go into details as I'm still waiting to hear what will happen criminally and civilly, but suffice to say, I accidentally took the life of an unhoused woman. I wasn't distracted. I didn't do anything illegal. It was just a freak accident. It took me what felt like several minutes, though it was probably less than 30 seconds, to process the nightmare that had just occurred. As soon as it clicked, I dialed 911 as I ran to her side. I was with her until the first officer arrived and began CPR, at which point I stepped back to give space. Side note, I knew I should have begun CPR myself before he arrived, but I was literally frozen. I completely doubted my judgment and haven't been able to truly trust myself since. I will never forget the two women who prayed over us as I sat by her side, then held and prayed for me as I sobbed watching her receive CPR. She was loaded into an ambulance, and while she continued to receive CPR en route to the hospital, I believe she already passed before it ever began. My at-the-time fiancé was just minutes down the road for work and was by my side as soon as he physically could be. He called my parents and boss for me, all of whom came right away to be with me. I can't imagine how difficult that call would have been to make or receive. I went to see my therapist that night with my parents and fiance. I had the best support I could possibly ask for, and I'm so incredibly grateful for that. But I still felt so alone. For the first few days, I felt such a deep, painful shame. I felt like I disappointed everyone in my life. Over the next couple of months, that somewhat eased, but the guilt still hangs around. While the waves, how I refer to the guilt hitting, as it literally feels like being rammed by a powerful wave, have lessened in frequency, I don't think I'll ever truly recover from this. Now to share the resource that helped me the most. This event was so isolating because nobody could possibly understand except those in the Hyacinth Fellowship, or THF. THF is for those of us who have unintentionally harmed or killed, as well as our family and friends, because let's face it, while they might not have been in our shoes, they absolutely went through a trauma of their own, or at least I know mine did. I was lucky enough to attend my first fellowship Zoom meeting just 5 days after my accident. It was so powerful to see that I wasn't alone in this. While participation is 100% optional, even in that first meeting, I found myself unexpectedly opening up, sobs and all. I've never once felt judged, just loved, supported, and most importantly, understood. The Hyacinth Fellowship has been a lifeline, not just for me, but many, many others as well. Every person I've talked to on the Zoom meetings has been kind, compassionate, and so understanding. There is zero judgment. Doesn't matter what you did or who it was. We are all accidental killers, and we get it. Their website is hyacinthfellowship.org. It's been a little over 7 months since that awful day. I still relive it daily, but I'm slowly healing. I married the love of my life 3 months after the accident, which was a feat in and of itself due to the debilitating depression, making it difficult to feel anything other than numb. But it was the wedding of my dreams and the best day of my life. I now live almost my dream life. The only thing missing is my job, as I'm still on my healing journey and working toward that next step. I hope no one listening actually needs Hyacinth, but if they do, I hope it helps. Being an accidental killer means being a part of one of the shittiest clubs out there, but we have a community. We aren't alone. And while we're sad you're here, we're also happy you're here.
Wow. Thank you, first of all, for sharing that resource, for sharing your story. But that really goes to show you the power of A, community, and B, the recognition, like we always talk about, that spiraling, rippling effect of these incidents like this, even when it's unintentional, you know, the perpetrator, and I say that lightly, I mean, you know, I don't mean that you did anything wrong, but the person who, you know, was responsible, even in a freak accident situation, has to deal with those feelings. And then, like you said, friends, family, fiance, colleagues, like the fact that this resource is out there is so valuable. I've never heard of this. I had no idea. Thank you. Thank you for sharing it.
I didn't either. We'll link the website in our show notes. I've gone to it and it's exactly how Anonymous describes. And I imagine for those that find themselves in this horrible circumstance, this really is a lifeline because we, you know, of course we think of the victim's family. And oftentimes, the person that may have accidentally done something kind of gets left out of the picture as being someone that also has a lot of trauma that they're going to carry with them forever, probably. You know, you just learn to maybe cope and deal. But what a horrible thing to happen, period. And then to find yourself having to kind of navigate completely uncharted territory alone. Mm-hmm. But now, thanks to Anonymous, we know that you don't have to be alone if you have found yourself in this very unfortunate club as well.
No, it's something that I think a lot of us, when we are removed from incidents like this, you know, you pass an accident on the side of the road, or you see a headline of like, you know, this something malfunctioned, you know, a train malfunctioned, a roller coaster malfunctioned or something. And down, when you drill down to it, like somebody is the one that turned the wrench that caused that malfunction or didn't strap the thing as it should have been. And that's not to say, oh, that person needs to be, you know, pointed out and harangued. Quite the opposite of,
or
like
criminally
or whatever.
Held it's responsible.
Like, oh God, that's another person that is involved in this that still, like you said, lives their life and has to go on and stuff. So while things can be freak accidents where you're not morally held to it, nobody can even punish you more than yourself, even when you're not deserving of punishment. So I think it's a beautiful thing that you all are able to find one another, Anonymous, and understand like you're not the, because I'm sure you think I'm the worst person in the world. I'm a monster. I'm the worst. And that's just, you know, not true. It's the worst day of our lives don't define us, as we so often say on the show. And I think that goes both ways, for sure.
Yeah, and it's great that it's also a resource for family members because they, and like the trickle-out effect, of course, they're affected. Their loved one is suffering and, you know, depressed to get married right after that. I'm glad you're able to find some happiness in that day. Maybe some relief from your brain for a few hours at the very least.
Mm-hmm. That's something that's, you know, you don't want to move your whole wedding, change your whole life, but it definitely changes you and changes what you expected your wedding to be. So having other people that are similarly situated to you, I'm glad you were able to find them.
Yeah. It doesn't really say on the website if people that have witnessed a crime, this is for them. But like the two women that stopped and prayed, that's traumatic too. I mean, I still, like yesterday, remember when I saw a man die in a parking lot that I was trying to administer CPR to. He also, I believe, had passed before loaded into the ambulance as well. But it's, you know, to witness those things, they shouldn't be minimized. Even if you're like, well, I didn't really have a hand in it. I was just kind of there. Trauma is trauma. Trauma is anything that, you know, prevents you from living your day-to-day life like you normally would.
No, most definitely. And I think, too, you're right. Like, not diminishing the participants, like those people that came to pray with you. Like, I love how Anonymous specifically mentioned them, like how helpful that is, because I think often we think, oh, well, I don't want to like go over there and bother any, or like, I'm going to stay out of it. And it's like, if your heart calls you to go and like be with someone and hold them, it sounds like it made a huge difference for Anonymous and will, I'm sure, make a huge difference for, I had my dad's, a friend of his and his wife were killed in a car accident, and they afterwards, the family was able to hear from the people who ran down on scene and was like with them in their final moments. And that was very comforting for my dad and his friends and family of the two people we lost, because you're like, thank you, stranger. Quite literally, a stranger was just like, I heard this loud noise and I just took off running and, you know, held their hands and everything. So in those moments, we hope that we will rise to the occasion. But you're right. Like afterwards, you're also the bystander, not even bystander, you know, the comforter at the time is also left with something as well. We're just all connected.
Yeah, it's important to take care of yourself in all the ways and to not diminish your feelings, like you said.
Most definitely.
Well, thank you again, Anonymous. This was a point of view that I haven't considered enough. And I will now. And I love that we have this resource now if anyone else needs that.
Thank you. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You know that hoodie you can't stop reaching for? The one that feels like a second skin. It's soft, warm, and somehow makes you feel a little more grounded? Well, I've found it, and trust me, it's not what you expect. It's called Paka, spelled P-A-K-A. And if you're tired of hoodies that stretch out or pill or feel heavy, this is the upgrade you've been waiting for. Paka makes performance apparel from alpaca fiber, one of the world's most sustainable natural fibers. Their best-selling hoodie is softer than cashmere, warmer than wool, and breathable enough to wear year-round. It's lightweight but cozy, adapts to the weather, and won't stretch out or pill. This is a hoodie built for real life. Thermoregulating, odor-resistant, durable, and made to last. Each one is handcrafted in Peru with the artisan's name stitched into the tag as a mark of quality and care. Over 100,000 people have already picked up the Paka hoodie, not only because it feels amazing, but because it's made sustainably and ethically from traceable alpaca fiber while supporting the communities that create it. Paris and I just had a little weekend getaway for our fourth wedding anniversary, and the whole time, when I tell you the whole time, I wore my sky blue Paka hoodie. It was perfect for sitting outside making s'mores. It was perfect for the road trip. It was something soft and cozy that kept me comfortable while we were driving a couple hours. So highly recommend. And I love the sky blue color. I feel like it looks fabulous. And I love the tag in it that it's like, this was handmade by somebody. So it is a perfect summer, lightweight, breathable, comfy hoodie. So to grab your Paka hoodie, go to www.pakaapparel.com. That's www.pakaapparel.com.
Well, this next one is from your daughter, Anonymous, and hello, she says, hi, Mama Heather.
Hello, sweetheart.
And the subject line is, my fourth grade teacher tried recruiting me into her cult. Hi, ladies. I freaking love the pod. The stories, compassion, humor, it's all amazing. So, on to my story. I'm not using names in this story, but I've kept the locations the same. My family moved around a lot when I was a child, but I spent a large portion of my childhood in a very small community in Northern California. It was an awesome place to be a kid. Bike riding, playing in the creek, picking blackberries, catching tadpoles. Unfortunately, because this location was so small and rural, the local schools often had trouble attracting and keeping competent teachers. So my siblings and I had some weird teachers sprinkled throughout elementary and middle school. When I was in fourth grade, I was placed in a classroom with a teacher who was new to the school but had previously worked in the district. She was very intense, but a good teacher, and once I got my feet under me, I made some amazing academic progress. I felt like we fit together, and that she saw something special in me, which is what every kid wants, right? My mom worked at the school as well, and they got to know each other, getting along very well. We were even the only family from her classroom to be invited to a community dinner in her town. I remember it was so fun. We had dinner with a large group of people, and then all the kids went outside to play. I remember having a great time until my parents showed up and told us to get your butts in the car now. Huh? Well, okay. Nothing was discussed about that dinner, and it never struck me as odd because we participated in a lot of community dinners with the local Rotary Club. So why was this any different? My relationship with this teacher took a weird turn the following year. She had moved up to fifth grade and had most of the same students for a second year in a row. At the time, I remember feeling a little uncomfortable with how close she was to those of us who had been in her class the year prior. Nothing untoward, but definitely not professional. The year went by okay until the last few months. She started telling me that my schoolwork was no longer, quote, up to par, and I was, quote, slipping. I honestly didn't understand what she meant, but I knew it was bad. Unfortunately, I was the ultimate people pleaser as a child and started to work as hard as possible to get back in her good graces, with no results. Another assignment, another I'm disappointed type note on my paper. There's much more, but to sum it up, she made it clear that trying my best was not good enough and I should be ashamed of not fulfilling my potential. I finally started to crack under the pressure when she called my home to tell my parents how I was slipping. My mom asked me what was going on, and when it all came out, her advice was to finish out the year with any kind of grades and that I would never have to deal with this teacher again. Looking back, it might be tempting to think that my mom should have gone to the school and ripped this lady a new one, but this was the early 90s, and this teacher wasn't technically doing anything wrong. I finished out the school year, and she continued to make comments about my poor performance and how my work, quote, wasn't nearly what it could be. But after I got the okay from my mom to just skate by, I fucking skated, happy to leave this teacher in fifth grade. A few months later, my mom heard through the grapevine that this particular teacher had requested to move up to sixth grade. My mom went right down to the school and demanded that I be placed in a different class, which I was. A few days later, we got a phone call at our home. This teacher had heard that I was placed with a different teacher and did her own demanding that my mom agree to place me in her class. She actually told my mom, "You know, I only moved to six so I could continue being Anonymous's teacher," which may or may not have been true, but my mom just replied that that was exactly why I was not going to be in her classroom. The final push came when this teacher got in touch with other parents and asked them to reach out to my parents to pressure them to move me to her class. The prevailing attitude seemed to be, "She thinks your daughter is special and she's such a great teacher. How is that bad?" Fortunately, my parents thought that was bonkers and didn't relent. My childhood was far from ideal, but my parents really had no problem telling people where to go if they thought one of their kids might be unsafe, physically or psychologically. Also, my mom was someone who had the perspective that the only children that she could, barely, tolerate were her own. So any adult taking special interest in children who weren't theirs was always a huge red flag. A few years later, my family moved to a new state, and memories of elementary school and this teacher slowly faded. Fast forward about 25 years. I was listening to a podcast about a young man who grew up in the Bubba Free John cult. My jaw dropped when he mentioned moving to Cobb Mountain to be closer to the cult headquarters. The town I grew up in was right next to Cobb, and many kids and adults came down the mountain to attend or work at the local schools. I was not able to ask my mom about any of this because she had passed away a few years prior. She was a wonderful person and mom, and I miss her every day. I was, however, able to ask my dad and sister about the cult the next time we got together for the holidays. Oh my goodness, did you guys know that when we lived in Middletown, there was a cult right up on Cobb? I asked them. They both stared at me, dumbfounded. Finally, my sister replied in typical older sister fashion. Wait, you didn't know that? She said. No, I was a kid. Why the hell would I know about a cult? I replied. Oh yeah, the Bubbas, Dad said while laughing. We loved hiring them at his place of work. They were all overqualified and only wanted part-time hours since they had to spend so much time at the cult. Yeah, you don't remember? My sister asked. We went to their compound. What? I exclaimed. My sister continued. That weird teacher you had? She convinced Mom it was a fundraiser, and so we went to their compound for dinner one night. My dad chimed in. Oh yeah, they gave us a hard sell. Bunch of weirdos. Who wants a beer? Well, me, obviously, I said. And that is how my fourth grade teacher tried to recruit my family into her cult. Believe it or not, that is not the weirdest thing to happen during my childhood. I've included some links about this particular cult, and I want to thank you for reading my story, even if it doesn't make it on the pod. Just writing this out has been very therapeutic. What I initially thought was a funny cult story ended up being a bit darker when I realized that any adult messing with a kid's head is not okay. Much love to you both. Keep fighting the good fight.
Wow, my darling Anonymous. First of all, good on your parents for being like, oh, we're being sold a cult. We're leaving. Children, stop playing basketball. Drop the soccer ball. We're out of here.
Get in the car now.
Get in the car. But you're right, Anonymous. It is more than just, oh, well, it's some parents of a student. It's like, I'm going to manipulate this student by gaslighting her that she's not good at schoolwork. First of all, love bombing you, and then turning it around and being withholding when your parents aren't agreeing to like join this cult. My theory is that she was going to say, oh, Anonymous is struggling in school because you all are, you need this spiritual divine training and I can show you the exact path. And this would really help your daughter because, you know, she's doing bad in school.
Could be.
And I was like, because I was like, why are you trying to mess with this kid to get to the parents? But it's like, the parents turned him down on the initial sale. So it's like, well, now I got to manipulate them to join. So
imagine calling another person's, another student's parent and being like, you really need to move your kid to XYZ's class. Whose business is that? That's insane.
Also, the audacity that the teacher had to call the family and be like, you took her out of my class. I want her. It's like, that's, well, at least we know you're weirdly fixated. Yeah, on our daughter. Well, it's the Adi Dal cult, ADI/DA, and it used to be called Bubba Free John, and then the guy who created it changed his name multiple times because he's a cult leader and it's all made up. So his new name or his most recent last name that he used is ADI/DA. And investigative reports, you know, have revealed some ex-members said that he forced members to engage in psychologically, sexually, and physically abusive and humiliating behavior and committed a bunch of tax fraud. So exactly the type of
sounds
place
on brand for a cult.
Yeah, you're like, oh, these hamburgers? No thanks. We're leaving. good for your parents for sure.
Yeah. And hopefully that school double checks their teachers, vets them a little more before –
good
just
Lord.
Letting anybody take. But I guess, like she said, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, kind of, you kind of have to take, like, who's going to come live there?
Willing to be a rural teacher. And she's like, I would love to live near the headquarters. Like, of what? Nothing. I just meant the mountain.
Mountain.
Like, Cobb Mountain awaits us. That's wild. But you made it out. Good on you.
Northern California is a place unto its own.
They got
There's
all
a
kinds.
Lot of shit that goes on up there. Like, you think of Northern California and everyone's like, oh, it's beautiful. And it is.
Yes,
but also, there's like a lot of
How many things have we covered now that have
every
happened
time
up there?
Yeah, it's much like Hawaii. We're like, could you stop going to Northern California? They've got enough problems with Murder Mountain. They don't need you fucking, what's the guy in the overalls, Chuck Dieterich. We don't need you to move your Synanon right to our lovely Marin County. And also this guy, too. It's like, we're full up on cults here. Please stop showing up.
Yeah, we're fact, we're overflowing. So if you could take it down the road, would be much appreciated.
All booked up. Well, thank you, my darling Anonymous.
Yes, thank you.
Sinisterhood will be right back. I'm at that point in life where I have a bedtime for myself. I had one when I was a kid, and I have one now because I have got to get my rest. And I'll tell you what, if I'm not in my bed with my soft Boll & Branch sheets, I'm not happy, because my Boll & Branch sheets have gotten me spoiled. Every other set of bed sheets feels like sandpaper. I'm going to tell you this. Boll & Branch sheets are buttery soft when you first get them, and they get softer with every wash. There's something about sliding into a soft pair of sheets that really does make me go to sleep easier, faster. And I love my duvet cover. It's very cute. It's like, usually I just had like ugly, crappy bedding that I just get from wherever. But when we first, even before we worked with Boll & Branch, Christy recommended them. She was like, upgrade your bedroom. You are going to thank yourself. And I do. And I thank her, and I thank Boll & Branch for getting me a good night's sleep every night. Upgrade your sleep during Boll & Branch's annual spring event. Take off 20% site-wide plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com/creepy with code creepy. That's Boll & Branch, bollandbranch.com/creepy, code creepy to unlock 20% off. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well, your daughter has written in.
Hello,
and
sweetheart.
What a tale she has. I don't know if you know about this one, if she came home and told you, but it is called The Paper Shredder Pervert.
She says it best.
Hi, Christy, Heather, and all children, husbands, and animals. You guys have gotten me through so many difficult times in the last few years. Sinisterhood has been a huge source of comfort for me, and I love the community you've built. Please allow me to thank you for your kindness by telling you this absolutely unhinged story from my time working retail. During my early 20s, I worked at a candle shop for many years. For the purposes of anonymity, I won't name drop the company, but yes, it's probably the candle store you're thinking of. As much as I bitched about working in retail, I really did love that job and the amazing crew I had there. I miss it terribly now, especially since the store I spent so much of my life in is now closed. I'd already been working for the company for several years when one busy afternoon, shortly before Christmas, the store landline rang. I stepped away from the floor and answered with the standard corporate greeting. Thank you for calling Candle Store. This is Anon. How can I help you? The voice on the other end was clearly a male trying to disguise his voice, almost like he was trying to sound like a child. Hello, Anon. Is this Candle Store? Yes. How can I help you? Do you have any coupons out right now? It was a pretty standard question, but unsettling in that childlike, lilting voice. I already knew this shit was weird, but hey, people are weird. We had quarterly mystery shoppers, and part of their assessment was to call and ask us a question to judge our phone etiquette. Maybe this guy was a mystery shopper and didn't want us to recognize his voice when he eventually came in to buy. Maybe he thought it would be a funny gag. I committed to the bit and informed him of the coupons and promotions we had, prepared to quickly end the call and return to the busy sales floor.
So, what do you do with the coupons after they're used?
The caller asked. We collect them. Unfortunately, they can't be reused, I replied. He insisted.
But what do you do with them?
We throw them away.
What do you do with them before you throw them away?
At this point, I was pretty annoyed because I had customers and this guy wouldn't let me off the phone. Sir, I'm not sure what you're asking. Interrupting me, he asked.
Do you rip them up?
Sometimes, yeah, I hesitantly replied. I regret to inform you that at this point, he started breathing heavily and excitedly asked me,
can you rip the paper for me now? Can I hear it?
What the fuck? My people-pleasing, corporate retail, 20-something brain had already let this call go on long enough. And at that point, I just hung up on him.
We didn't have caller ID, so I wrote it off as a weird, kind of pervy prank call. I told a few coworkers later, and we had a good laugh about it. Fast forward a couple months to February or so. I came in for a closing shift, and the opening manager immediately greeted me with, "I got the weirdest phone call today." She proceeded to relay to me almost exactly the same phone call I'd gotten back in December. He called, addressed her by name, asked if it was Candle Store, and asked her a series of questions that culminated in him requesting she rip up coupons for him to hear. So, we had a repeat offender on our hands, with a fetish for ripping up paper, specifically candle coupons. This guy was taking the slogan, "a passion for fragrance," to a whole new level. Fast forward another few months to Mother's Day. The sales rush was over, and I let my sales associate go home early, leaving me alone in the store for the last hour or so before closing. She grabbed her bag and walked out the door. No sooner had it closed behind her than the phone rang. "Thank you for calling Candle Store. This is Anon. How can I help you?"
"Hello, Anon. Is this Candle Store?"
Exact same voice, exact same greeting, moments after I'd been left alone in the store. I hustled to the front window and scanned the parking lot of the strip mall. Maybe I was just being paranoid, but it seemed like too much of a coincidence that he placed this call the literal second my coworker left and there were no customers. Either way, it was a fruitless endeavor, and I don't know what I was hoping to see. The lot was full of cars and people milling about, none of whom looked like they were on the phone trying to terrorize a lone young woman in a candle shop. But still, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. Not knowing what else to do, I hung up the phone, thinking it was best just not to engage. Unfortunately, he wouldn't give me the option. It rang again a few seconds later. No caller ID, remember? I hit the red button and denied the call. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was the district manager. Maybe it was an actual customer. Maybe it was God himself. I wasn't answering it. Eventually, he gave up. But this wouldn't be the last time we'd hear from the man we dubbed the Paper Shredder Pervert. This went on for a weirdly long time. At first, a few months would pass between calls, but they soon became more frequent. Once we made it clear we weren't here for a shit, he started targeting other locations near us. I think it took a long time for anyone to run it up the flagpole to corporate management, because after all, what could anyone do about it? No caller ID, no way to block the number, and he wasn't, quote, technically doing anything wrong by being a customer calling to ask about our coupon policies. Once the district and regional managers got wind of it, they sent out an email blast to everyone with instructions to hang up on him and immediately alert the district manager via email with the date and time of the call. I'm guessing they were trying to keep a log in order to build a case for phone harassment. But I doubt it would have been a priority for law enforcement, even if they were able to do so. Eventually, the calls died down, and then everything shut down for COVID. My store was closed for several months, but when we reopened, guess who our first caller was? I stopped working there shortly after. My store eventually closed down for good. I'm close friends with someone who still works at a neighboring location, and several months ago, she told me he'd called again at her store. As far as perverted phone calls go, this one was pretty silly. I know from other Freaky Friday stories and podcasts that it could definitely have been worse, but it always kind of spooked me. Who was the paper shredder pervert? A disgruntled former employee, maybe? How else would he have been certain there was no caller ID? Or maybe a dissatisfied customer? Or even one of our regulars? There were many instances where male customers would be in the store, and I'd find myself thinking that he could be any one of them. Could he really have been watching me that Mother's Day afternoon? Anyway, thanks for reading, and thanks for all you do. Keep it creepy. Toodles.
Well, my child, I'm glad it was not more offensive, but stories like this are so fascinating to me because I'm like, what's your end game and why that candle place and why specifically candle coupons and you want to hear them rip it? I've got so many questions that will never be answered.
Yeah, the candle store, when she said the one you're thinking of, my first thought was Yankee Candles.
Yeah.
Maybe Sample House, but okay. People go crazy for those Yankee candles, but I don't know.
He's about to Yankee on his candle while she's ripping that paper.
Yeah. This, just like the McDonald's phone call guy, yeah, I think that people that do this like to scare people, especially women, and have like a weird sense of control. And, you know, you're freaking them out. Maybe if they knew that you didn't have caller ID, and also when someone left your store, because that doesn't seem like a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
My thought was a person working in another store nearby.
Oh, that's a good one. I was going to say, or someone who has security camera access, but no, yeah. That's a good point. If they had reason to be in the area anyway.
Mm-hmm. And they've probably been into your store and mm-hmm. know how shit works.
Or just if they work in retail, they know it's like you don't have like the fanciest phone system behind the counter.
Or maybe it's someone like you do know, you know, like, I don't know. Stuff like this is so weird. And then when you find out like who it is, it's even more of a mind fuck. What was that mm-hmm. documentary that I recently watched? Well, I don't want to give it away because I'll spoil it if I say what happened. But long story short, someone was being called by someone for a very long time. And in the end, it was a family member. And you're like, the fuck?
What? Yeah. Those are always eerie when it's somebody. What we had on Freaky Friday was someone was getting those weird texts and it ended up being like a cousin something.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just thought this was a strange rando off the street. To me, I think it's somebody that has a connection to the candle company at large, given that they now have begun to call another location subsequent to this location closing. You're right. It does sound like there's some sort of a connection of why. Because I imagine if this was every store is getting these calls in a strip mall, you're kind of like going from the Yankee mm-hmm. candle, you go next door to like the Soma Intimates and are like, do you guys get like phone calls
Soma
about
Intimates?
I don't know. Just trying to think of like what else is in a strip
You're not
mall.
Wrong though.
Like an Ulta though or something, uh-huh. you know, stuff that, and you're like, hey, do you guys get weird? Like the coupon jacker mm-hmm. offer guy? And they're like, oh my God. Or like, please leave this store, man.
Right.
Like, go back to your candle store. So that tells me, I don't know, perhaps I'm glad that the district and regional managers were like, yeah, tell us when it happened. And we're just like, listen, people call. It is what it is. They were like, no, tell us who it was. But you're right. I think if you call the police, they're like, okay.
Like, I mean, but that sucks because this is a form of harassment.
It is. It's stalking, really.
Stalking.
Yeah.
And it's scary, especially if you're working there by yourself at night and you're a mm-hmm. woman and this man's calling, obviously in a sexual way. That's very scary. I think that's a real good reason to get caller ID, unless it didn't exist at the time. Maybe it wasn't a thing. Remember when there were just the boxes?
Yeah, just a little box, and you would hope it came up the name, like, right, or whatever, mm-hmm. but sometimes it would say just, like, unknown, and then you're like, because people could block it. But yeah, I mean, while I think that probably first blush law enforcement might shake this off, I mean, I think you're right, and I think calling it stalking is not overreacting, given that it is a persistent pattern, repeated actions that are designed to make people feel uncomfortable because the first time being like, no, fuck you. Like the fact that they are persistent in doing it, despite the fact that they know the recipient doesn't like it. I mean, I mm-hmm. think that depending on the jurisdiction, you know, kind of fits probably not what the legislators were thinking when they're writing it. But I think harassment of people can come in all different forms. And mm-hmm. you're right. People like this, the Washington phone call scam guy, person that was calling the young people, the teenagers, and mm-hmm. sending messages with their phones and stuff. I think you're right that it's somebody reasonably close that can watch the havoc mm-hmm. play out. Because I think you're right. Yeah. It has to do with that. Like, I want to be the inciting, mm-hmm. and then I want to watch the freak out, even if it's just them getting upset. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Because otherwise, if they're not ripping it up, then you're kind of, you know, you're not getting your rocks off as much. But like with the one where they were texting the family and stuff, there was speculation it was like a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something there that it was probably someone close by proximity wise, but also maybe that came into the store quite a bit or at least knew how things were run around there.
Yeah, I mean, Anon is right, though. Some people go ape shit crazy for these candles, though. That lady who has the rant about her.
Oh, my God.
I think it's the Bed Bath & Beyond.
Bath & Body Works,
Bath & Body Works rant.
Oh, that's a classic. That is a classic. Oh, I can't remember the
scent.
What
if she just like says it and she's like, they told me that they would have so much.
That's what she drove like 45 minutes with her mom. It's
all over Wisconsin, right?
Go look at just in TikTok. I think, search Bath and Body Works candle lady rant and something will come up. I'm sure
it's so that I don't know why it's not even the candle lady getting mad. It's when somebody is reenacting it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Because like people have like completely memorized it so well and are like down to the intonation. And when she's got her Green Bay Packers shirt on, I forgot her. Man, she's so mad. Well,
she's so mad. And it's like she's retelling it that happened days ago and she's still that angry. But
Jen from Appleton, that's her name.
That from Appleton. Yes, because she keeps saying that. Like, oh man, it's a good one. Go watch
her
it. You want a good laugh.
She was so upset. Well, I don't know if I'd rather have Jen from Appleton or this fella coming at me about a candle, but
they're
like
both terrible
way.
To deal with. Jen from Appleton was in the store and you gotta deal with that face to face. At least paper pervert, you can hang up. But also I'm like, is some dude going to come in and I'm going to find him like jerking off in the pine candle or, you know, I don't,
like I said,
I tried to think of a Yankee candle scent. I'll be honest. This is Yankee Candles, which I don't know if it is. I've never been a fan of their candles. Why is that? I don't know.
I've never been like, aside from, I do love a Diptyque candle, but they're far too expensive for me to have around regularly.
Oh, those are nice, yeah.
I love a Diptyque candle, but I've never been like, I gotta get me a Yankee. But it takes all kinds. And
people love it.
You get that scent and it smells like home or it smells like what you want your life to be. I think so oftentimes we choose a candle scent because we're like, this will fix it.
Yeah.
Then my house will smell like pumpkin spice and then Thanksgiving will be perfect. And not always.
Balsam and cedar. Christmas Eve, home for the holidays, Christmas cookie. Sir. We're having a great fucking Christmas this year, and I'm horny as fuck.
You're going to be the jolliest bunch of bastards inside a Yankee candle. And you're like, sir, would you put the Christmas cookies down? And
oh,
he's like,
man.
I got a Yankee on my candle, baby. That's my goodness. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Well, I'm sad for you that your store got closed, Anon, because I know that feeling. It sounds kind of silly, but when you've worked at a place, they changed, they demolished the original Sea Dog ticket booth, and I almost can't walk by that area on Navy Pier anymore. I'm like,
there's so many memories tied to it.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. It's like sacred ground, even if it's something silly, you know, like it's a job or whatever, but it's like the people, like she said, the people really make the difference. But let us know if your friend at the new store ever solves this. I would be fascinated to know.
Yeah. Or if you've ever been accosted by the paper pervert, let us know. Yeah, if he's like calling up Bath and Body Works, maybe he just likes retail coupons is his thing, and he wants to rip up.
He's calling the Arby's too.
You got to go to Bed Bath and Beyond because those bitches send them out daily.
They're everywhere.
You could have a whole field day with those, sir.
You can rip whatever you want. Yeah, and to anyone else listening, if you have a wild retail story like this, please send them in. This is so fascinating to me. The strange
behavior. One time we had someone write in about somebody shitting in the changing room. The amount of ones we've gotten in where that has happened to other people. Everyone needs to get right with God, because if you are going to a Palm Beach tan room and taking a dump in the trash can in there, you don't deserve to be tanned or to even really leave your house. You can't do shit like that.
My gas are flabbergasted. They shat upon the trash at the Palm Beach tan.
Apparently it happens quite a bit.
I will say, would rather have a customer shit in the trash can than on the tanning bed. I'm just saying. Because that one of them is way worse than the other.
My theory on this is because if you've ever done tanning beds, which there was a time where I was like, I'm going to get tan. And I spent so much money on a subscription to a place. I did not get tan and I damaged my skin. So don't do it. It's not good for you.
PSA.
But when the timer starts on the bed, you're on the countdown and you only got like 15, 20 minutes. So if you're halfway in and
something's halfway out, and something's coming halfway out.
then you got to make a decision. My decision is I cut my tanning time short.
Yes.
I put my clothes on. I go to the bathroom like a civilized human being. But other people are like, I paid for this and I will be goddamn. And then I'm like, what? You didn't take it with you. Do you think the person that came in after you doesn't remember that, like, oh, Christy was just here tanning, so she must be the one who did this.
They know your name.
You can't show your face there again.
No, they know what booth you went in. That's my thing. Is like, just go out and then say, oh, I actually had to cut my time short. Would you be cool and add it on? I just had to run to the bathroom. And if not, I'll just have to pay for it, or I just won't be that tan this week.
Yeah.
What are you doing in your life that you're like, I have to be fucking tan now. I gotta go now. The flight is leaving. I'm gonna shit in this trash can. Like, what life are you leaving? If you are living a life that you have to be tan that imminently, you have to invest in a tanning bed at home, because that is not a public thing.
Yeah. Or you know what? Just be okay with your pale skin. Like, yes, I finally came to terms with.
This is what I look like.
Yeah. This is what I look like. I can't change it. You know what I can change? Not taking a dump in a public trash can. That I will never do. I say that. I will never do it. If I have another option.
Exactly.
Okay.
If I could choose not to, will I have to someday? Never say never, maybe. Baby. Justin Bieber wrote that whole album, Never Say Never.
Oh, man. Well.
God damn.
Yeah. So let us know if you, if your friend has heard from this dude anymore. And I'm sure the voice I gave him did not do it justice.
It was so good. Are you kidding me? I was fucking
like,
riveted.
A man sounding like a child. Two things I'm not, so that's a challenge.
We workshopped it before it went to air.
We had to workshop
but
it.
But I thought it was spot on. I was unsettled and unnerved, especially when you said with this lilting voice. I was like, you nailed it.
Thank you so much. Sorry. Hopefully, Anon, that didn't trigger you with my perfect rendition of his voice.
Well, hey, let me see your phone. Have you been calling a Yankee Candle store? Wait a minute.
No, I'm a Tyler Candle girl, okay? Tyler Candles are great, by the way.
Oh. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, thanks for sending that one in. This next one is from Kate. The subject line is My Survivor Story, and content warning, there's discussion of sexual assault. Hello, ladies. First, let me apologize for the typos and poor grammar. I'm not a writer, and I might be a little drunk writing this. I also have a brain tumor, but now it just sounds like I'm making excuses. So, back many, many years ago, my then fiance and I had a friend over for dinner to celebrate our engagement. I was off all day alone and was cleaning and cooking in our apartment. We lived in a very big old building where you have to use your keys to open and unlock the door from the inside. I went out to the dumpster a couple times and propped both the downstairs door and our back door to our apartment open so I didn't need to carry keys and garbage. I cleaned, cooked, jumped in the shower, and my fiance came home and had picked up our friend. We all had a lovely dinner, and afterwards, my fiance left to drive our friend home. I began cleaning up the kitchen and then decided just to leave it until morning. I went into the bedroom and started to take my clothes off. Our kittens came running into the bedroom all puffed out and their claws made a very loud scratching noise on the ground. Before I could even say out loud, "What the fuck is wrong with you two?" I heard the wood floors creaking and heard heavy footsteps getting closer and closer. This was the early 2000s, so cell phones were fairly new. I grabbed my cell phone and ran into the closet. As I was running in there, my fiance called me. The only thing I got out was, "Someone is in the apartment. Call the cops." Then the call failed. I kept trying to call the police. It felt like forever, but it was maybe 10 minutes. I heard the guy running back and forth through our apartment and then a huge boom. The police broke the door open and a female officer opened the closet door and told me it was okay and I was safe. The intruder apparently jumped off the balcony. We lived on a high first floor apartment. I don't remember a lot of what happened after that. I know we went to my parents' house for a few days. I know the police found the dirtbag semen in my closet, I assume because he was watching me clean and shower. A month or so later, a man was arrested for breaking into an apartment a few streets down, hiding in the laundry room, jerking off, and watching the woman. When one woman saw him, he attacked her and tried raping her. Another man in the building heard her screaming and beat the shit out of the guy. We moved shortly after our wedding, but my therapist had us take all the closet doors off the hinges to help me feel safer. That concludes my survivor story, or my almost true crime story. Love you, ladies, and appreciate you. Kate.
This is my worst nightmare. I mean, one of several. But finding out someone's been in your home while you're there watching you, and then not just watching you, masturbating in your closet. Oh, my God. Kate, I'm so sorry. Yeah, such a violation. And you, I mean, it just sends your brain into overdrive. How did he get in there? How long was he there? Had he been in there during the whole dinner party? Like, how long was he just waiting?
Oh, yeah. Did he listen to the conversation dinner and just, like, get off doing that? And, oh, yeah. That is so scary. And especially now, him walking around knowing that your fiancé and friend are now gone. And later on, when we see what he attempted to do with the neighbor, that I mean, that's so scary if that was what he was willing to do. And just it's happenstance that you had your phone, happenstance that your fiancé called. But that is, like you said, it's the worst nightmare. And you are a survivor. My respect to you, because it is. And you mentioned a therapist, because, you know, I am also a survivor, and therapy is like number one way to deal with, for me at least, it's been extremely helpful. And recognizing something that other people take for granted of, oh, close my closet, that is upsetting to you. And that, and if that's going to help and to help you feel safer, then that's a way to do it.
Yeah, you did exactly what I would have done. Grab my cell phone, run into a closet and hide. I think,
like, lock yourself.
Whenever I like mentally walk through a scenario like that, that's what I think of about doing. But I'm very glad that he decided to get the fuck out of there, and the cops were able to open the door and let you know you're safe. But that doesn't mean that you feel safe.
No, not at all. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Kate, and for writing to us. Yeah, you said I'm not a writer, but you told that story just as perfectly as you could have.
Yeah, and like we've said this whole time, sharing stories is very powerful, and there's a lot of people that are in this same situation, have had experiences like this, so thank you for sharing that, and that might help other people feel more confident in sharing their own story, or knowing at the very least that they're not alone.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, this next one is from Katie, and the subject line is, just creeping? Hello, friends. First, much like your other submissions, I adore your show. You're both wonderful company while I toil away in my basement workshop, creating magic that helps dreams come true. But that's an entirely different story. Anyway, I thought quite a few times about submitting this story, and I'm not sure why I never have. But Facebook reminded me that today, 3/13/25, is the 14-year anniversary of the time an armed, allegedly, man entered our house while on the run from both cops and their canine counterparts. Let me set the scene. It's Michigan, mid-March, and there's still a butt ton of snow on the ground. It was a Sunday, so myself and my parents didn't have work, and all around it was a lazy kind of day. Unfortunately for my mom, though, she was fighting the flu and had kindly asked my dad to go to the drugstore to pick up some NyQuil and throat drops. Being the awesome husband that he is, he agreed, and I decided to tag along with him. The shopping trip wasn't exciting. We got what was needed, and I'm sure a few other things, before returning to my mom, who was curled up on the living room couch, just wishing the flu would go away. For this next part, I'm going to set the scene and describe for you the layout of our house. When you enter the house via the back door,
you immediately step into a mudroom or coat room with giant windows on either side that are about 3.5 feet up off the ground. As you exit this back room, you immediately step into the kitchen and can follow the same line through the kitchen into the dining room, attached bathroom on the right-hand side, and then all the way into the living room. Essentially, you can stand at the back door and see all the way to the living room. The way our living room was set up, one could be standing behind the couch and be able to look to the right and see the back door. That someone on this day just happened to be me. As I stood at the back of the couch, not 5 minutes into having returned home, I heard the back door open and saw someone step into the house and quickly close the door. At the time, the neighborhood we lived in wasn't dangerous, and we didn't really make a habit of locking the back door. Another important detail is that my older brother was currently living in the basement and had friends that would come and go as family, sometimes when he wasn't even home. And my family was all familiar and friendly with these friends. And that's important. As this man entered the house, I watched him immediately crouch down out of view of the mudroom windows and stalk into the kitchen, hiding at the side of the stove, out of view of the large kitchen window. I thought to myself as I was watching this happen, well, this is strange. Then he looked at me, and I looked at him, and in my glorious, genius, and impeccable comedic timing, asked out loud, "Just creeping?" It then dawned on me that he wasn't familiar and certainly wasn't one of my brother's friends. He didn't acknowledge that I had been speaking to him, so I turned to my dad, sitting on a recliner out of complete view of the man, who now had a very confused look on his face. "I don't know who that is," I said, now a little panicked as adrenaline started coursing through my veins. My mom gasped, and I'm sure screamed, as my dad immediately went into Papa Bear mode. He launched out of the recliner and into the dining room where the man had made it about halfway to the living room. My dad grabbed the man by the two sides of his open jacket and pushed and held him up against the bathroom doorway. I'm pretty sure this man didn't think he would encounter a Papa Bear in this house, and my dad's actions certainly startled him enough to physically disarm him and move him toward the back of the house. When they got to the mudroom, my dad heard shouting and looked out the window to see cops and guns pointed. They told him to stand down and then made their way in the back door to apprehend the man. They took him down in the snow right outside our back door. I've attached a photo of the imprint in the snow. They cuffed him and they hauled him off. One of the officers thanked my dad for his courage, but also let him know how lucky he was because this man had been known to be armed and dangerous in previous law enforcement encounters. Well, needless to say, we were all a little shaken and rattled after the encounter, but after giving our statements and lots of deep breaths, we continued about our day as best we could. A few weeks later, while I was at work, someone came in and served me with papers telling me I would have to testify at this guy's pending trial. Mortified, as I hadn't ever been in a courtroom, I thought to myself how that scenario would go. Would the judge pee themselves laughing when I explained the only thing I did was look at the guy and say, "Just creeping?" before my dad sprang into action? Well, thankfully, I was spared, as the man pleaded guilty to a home invasion charge and spared me the horror of having to testify in a courtroom. And our family just chalks the whole thing up to another chapter in our family's crazy book of stories. But for the last 14 years, we have religiously locked the doors in that house, and we often use our new catchphrase, "Just creeping?" lovingly when we are all together. Thank you, ladies, for spending time reading this crazy little story. I hope you enjoy it and perhaps get a little chuckle, too. Thanks for all you do, Katie.
Katie, just creeping. Honestly, sometimes when you don't realize the danger you're in, you're like, it kind of saves you a bit because, right? You know what I mean? Like, instead of immediately panicking and freaking out, you're just kind of casual and the guy's kind of casual. And then Papa Bear comes from around the corner and is like, "Not today, bitch.
I might get you." It made me think of Brandy from Let's Go to Court, RIP to the show, not Brandy, but when she came on Freaky Friday and told us that she caught someone breaking into her garage and was like, "May I help you with anything? How's it going? Yeah. Do you want a drink?" It's like so friendly. And they're like, "I was just going to rob you. I'm sorry.
I guess." Or like the story last week when the general is in there trying to cut stuff out of a sign. And they're like, "Well, it's time to go. Let's turn off all the lights."
It's like you kind of short circuit their brain and it like de-escalates them almost like, oh, I just broke in these people's house and that girl's like joking at me. And also like, yeah, I was just creepy.
I am just creeping.
You like call it like you saw it.
Creepy to see somebody walk in and then immediately crouch down. And I think probably you're just running from the cops and the first open yeah. door you find, you just go inside. But
thank God
luckily
that Papa
was not, or he was, I guess, armed, but did not have time to do anything.
No, but I'm happy that Dad and Katie came home, so Mom's not just like vibing on the right? sofa with her NyQuil, and a fucking crazy guy rolls in like, don't tell the cops I'm here. You know, I mean,
with the flu
just creeping. Yes. Oh no.
Be like, although, you motherfucker, today is not the day. You don't know how I feel.
Yeah, depends on how jacked on NyQuil I am. He might not be getting out of that house alive. I'm like, you ruined my nap. I'll kill you.
Truly. I'll or kill you. I sleep through the whole thing and a whole takedown happens. And then my family gets back.
Like, why is there caution tape all over the house? Like, I don't know, but did you get my NyQuil? Like, please mm-hmm. help me. Oh, well, thank you, Katie.
What
for
a picture,
that one in.
Too.
Yeah, there, mean, definitely. Somebody's face got
see,
smashed
yeah,
in that
somebody's
snow.
Face just implanted in this snow.
I like your, it says March 13th, 2011, where the guy was taken down and cuffed.
And there it is.
You've proof got that positive. Evidence. Well, thank you, Katie. Goddamn. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This next one is from Kate, and the subject line is, "The Scarecrow in My Closet." Hi, Christy and Heather, longtime listener since 2019, and I absolutely adore you both. Your work on this podcast is simply incredible. Keep it up. Seriously, please never stop. I'll go crazy without listening to you two every morning while I get ready to teach a class of 23 9-year-olds. Anyway, enough chit-chat, on to the story. When I was around 6 years old, my local library held a Halloween coloring contest. I won for my age group and was gifted a bucket full of candy, as well as a 5-foot-tall stuffed scarecrow. I truly am not sure why they thought a 6-year-old would want a scarecrow that was nearly twice the size of her, but that's neither here nor there. The scarecrow had on brown overalls, an orange shirt, black boots, and a hat. On his face, he wore a nice smile, had shiny button eyes, and even had some rosy cheeks to complete the look. All in all, he was pretty nice, I suppose, but I had no interest in him. He didn't belong with my cute dog stuffies or my princess dolls, so into my closet he went. Hung up by a little hook on the back of his hat, he dangled off the clothes rack and smiled at the wall. He stayed there for around 2 or 3 years, never being moved or played with, just hanging there in my closet. Now, before I continue, there's a few things you should know about the house I grew up in. It was a nice house in a small neighborhood that was surrounded by cornfields. My house was right on the edge of a road that butted up to the side of one of those fields. A little ways out into that field was an old abandoned house. You could tell the house used to be very nice, a 2-story with a front porch, a cellar, a barn for livestock, etc. However, it had definitely been abandoned for a long time. The roof was caved in, the doors and windows busted, and the barn had all but collapsed in on itself. During the day, it was interesting to look at, but at night, gave me the heebie-jeebies. I had heard plenty of stories on the school bus about the older woman who had died there. Her ghost still sat in the upstairs window, waiting for her long-dead husband to come home. At night, if you look at just the right time, you might see his lantern swinging as he walked slowly across the field toward the house. You also might see the flicker of her candle in the upstairs window. Those were just ghost stories, but as the little girl who lived in the house closest to that abandoned house and slept in the room with the window that had a great view of that abandoned house, I was always extra careful at night to close my window shades all the way, leave the hall light on, and crack my door open just the slightest so that my mom would hear me scream if the older woman's ghost were ever to wander into my room. Another thing I was always sure to do was shut my closet door tightly, no cracks at all. I did this because over the months and years that the Scarecrow hung in my closet, I became scared of him. His eyes seemed to bore into me as I picked out my clothes in the morning or grabbed a game to play in the afternoon. His smile seemed to taunt me as I closed the closet door on him day after day, month after month, year after year. Of course, I could never tell my parents this because I couldn't be known as a scaredy cat. Silly little me, frightened of a scarecrow? Never. And so, he stayed in my closet and slowly became one of my biggest nightmares until one day, it all came to an end. This particular day, it was gloomy outside. I remember the rain pattering on my window. I was playing in my room with my dolls and decided it was time to get out my dresses and makeup so that I could be the American Idol star that I always dreamed of being. I opened my closet door and began rummaging around for my makeup case. The scarecrow hung above me, his felt boots getting right in my way. I finally found the makeup case and stood up to go through the clothes rack to find my favorite dress. As I stood, I was face to face with the scarecrow. We locked eyes, the scarecrow with his black button ones, me with my blue ones, and I swear to you, his smile began to grow. It spread across his face, a terrifying sneer. I was paralyzed. His eyes glinted as his smile continued to grow. Finally, I snapped out of it, slammed the closet door shut, and screamed the most blood-curdling scream you can imagine. I charged out of my room and down the hallway to my mother. Of course, she didn't believe me. Who would believe a now around 8 or 9 year old girl that the stuffed scarecrow hanging in her closet had smiled at her? That would be insane, impossible. But it happened, I swear. That scarecrow smiled a smile akin to Pennywise, and I saw it. That evening, I finally built up enough courage to open up my closet door. The scarecrow hung there. I grabbed it and quickly ran out into the garage, where I stuffed it into a storage tote. That summer, we had a garage sale, and one of my grandma's friends bought him for $3. You may think that's the end of the scarecrow, but it's not. Remember that old abandoned house out in the field? Well, eventually it was torn down. A new house was built where the old one used to stand. My grandma's friend bought the new house and moved in. Now, every fall when I visit home, the scarecrow sits on the front stoop of that new house out in the field, his black eyes, rosy cheeks, and that terrifying smile still taunting me.
Grandma's friend really said, I'm about to traumatize you for life.
She's like, that house, the scary one? Oh, I'll live right there. And I'll position the scarecrow right here for you all. I like that, though. She was like, $3? What a deal.
I'll take it.
No.
How funny for your school to give you a something that's larger than you to have to carry around. But a bucket also, of candy score.
That's my question. Did the library just go like, hey, we're going to have like different age groups, because she said I won my age group. So if you won like the 6-year-old age group, does that mean that somebody in the 10 to 12 year old age group, they're like, oh, well, we have a 6 foot tall scarecrow for you, the older kids. The 5 and 6 year olds can have the 5 foot tall one. It's like, where are our tax dollars going?
Everybody gets a scarecrow. It just depends on how tall it is.
Yeah, that is that
but
feeling.
They're all haunted. That's
yeah, you're like,
catch.
Your face is moving, and I know it's moving, and it's like, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. You know what? I think the storage tote is a perfect place for it until the garage sale.
I commend you for having the courage to open back up your closet and grab him and run down the stairs, because I would be, I think, too scared to even get close enough to him to touch his soft little body.
It's like, I love when you carry me. Stop laughing. Yeah, after all them scarecrows at that community garden by my house, I'm out on scarecrows. I'm not having
scarecrows. You know, Ella recently asked me who my favorite character in The Wizard of Oz was, and I said the Scarecrow. She said, you can't say Dorothy.
Oh, okay.
I think she actually said, of the three, Scarecrow, Tin Man, or Cowardly Lion, who's your favorite? So it was very narrowed down. And I said Scarecrow, and thinking on it, that might be the last time I liked a scarecrow. Because for the most part, they scare me, and I'm not a crow, but they do their job.
They do indeed. Yeah, that's a sweet scarecrow, though. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well,
he doesn't look like he's going to climb down and just strangle you. Fucking not hills have eyes. What's the one with the scarecrow? He comes back every like 24 years or something.
I hate it.
Anyways.
It just sounds like it affected you, though.
It's a... Oh.
I'll think about it while you... Well, there's one called Scarecrow, but that's... God, there's so many Scarecrow movies. Scarecrow, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, Scarecrows, Curse of the Scarecrow, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow 2, American Scarecrow, Bride of Scarecrow.
Stop it.
Another Scarecrows, Scarecrow County, Return of the Scarecrow.
No, stop it.
So many. Wait, damn it. There were still more.
Too many.
All that to say, Scarecrows, they've earned themselves a reputation for doing what they're supposed to do. And that's people.
They're so scary. They have an entire franchise and extended cinematic universe, it sounds like, with a whole from Bride to County.
Those are all different directors, by the way, in years. Oh, like, man. Everybody's cashed in on the Scarecrow craze.
It's one of those words when you say Scarecrow so many times, you're like, Scarecrow. What a weird word that we're all saying.
Yeah.
Just two words mashed together.
But then you break it down, you're like, literally, these are meant to scare the crows out of the field, so they're aptly named.
Right?
It's a well... terrifying.
Well named, but keep it the fuck out of my house. Well, thank you very much, Kate, and Godspeed this fall when you inevitably see it again.
Happy Thanksgiving! Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email, you get immediate access. You get a whole backlog of free content on Patreon for free members just for signing up as a thank you. And just to remind everybody, for the next 2 weeks, we are going to be off for Sunday Scaries, but then we'll be back with bigger and better videos than ever.
God knows what you're going to send in between now and then, but we can't wait.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input. We're about to record a True Crime Headlines right now with all sorts of updates. Yeah, Corey Richens. Man,
Havana
that trial
syndrome?
Just ended.
Yes.
Havana Syndrome.
Tommy
with everything
Thompson?
Going in. There's a lot.
Can't wait. We also offer free trials, so if you are curious about what we're talking about on True Crime Headlines and you are not a member at a tier yet, you can join for free for a week and check out all the perks. Go to the highest tier so you can binge everything. And if you cancel anytime before the trial is over, you won't get charged. But if you stick around, get that annual membership so you get 1 month free and you get access to, like we said, over 1,000 hours of a back catalog and so much more.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes. We just put one out about the missing General McCaslin that's an ongoing story. We get merch discounts and, of course, a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
All you guys, the best part of it. And don't forget to grab that merch discount and head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, find fun things like topic-based playlists, and of course, tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Climb aboard and let's go. Go to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER. And you also get $100 off your cabin, meet and greet with us, and so much more. We cannot wait. And if you're already going to go, make sure you join our Discord server and chat with people who went last time. You know, tips, tricks, and veteran cruisers can help newbie cruisers.
Yeah, maybe you'll find someone on there to room with.
Meet up with, yeah, for sure. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever accomplishment, we would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a custom thing, so you know they don't already have it. If you're worried, like, I can't shop for this person, you don't even have to leave your house to get it. So go to the website on a browser, on a computer, cameo.com/sinisterhood to get the best price for your cameo. And you can use it to announce Crime Wave at Sea too. That was fun.
It was fun. We've done a lot of announcements lately.
Yeah, it's true.
Have been big announcements, and we're humbled to be the ones to announce it to the recipient.
It's very fun. We can't wait to announce all manner of things at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.